Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I have with me a couple of very young faces of pro-life and very happy to have them here with us. We have Jacqueline and Lucas Gerard. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, our pleasure.
Now, I know that one of the pro-life activities that you guys do is you participate in the March for Life. Could you tell me, like, how many times have you gone and what have been your experiences?
Well, I've been 5 times.
Wow.
You've been, what, 6?
I've been, like, 6, yeah.
And you're 15 and you're 18.
Yes.
So that's a lot of times. So how old were you? Do you remember when you first went?
Probably, like, close to 10.
10?
Yeah.
What was your first impression when you got down to Washington?
That there were a lot of people. It was more than I expected.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you were a little shocked?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
How about you? What was your...
My first time going, I went with a bunch of friends, and that's all I went with. So it was kind of just like, you're going down there to be with your friends. But in the end, it ended up as like a very different experience because you're down there with your friends and you're all standing for the same thing. So it was kind of nice.
So it kind of bonded you guys. Had you talked about, abortion among your friends before you had gone down?
It was always a topic because the group of friends that we went down with was a church group. And it was, we were always like, yes, we are, pro-life. And, we do stand for what we stand for and that we do have to stand for, the same things and be respectful about it. But we didn't really, it wasn't like a major, major topic until we did go down there and see what a difference, it can make to so many people. Oh, there are so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is overwhelming to see, you kind of feel isolated sometimes, especially in the Northeast, you might be a little on the kooky side because you really believe that there's a sanctity to human life. But you do you feel much more reinforced, about your beliefs when you see the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are like-minded, all willing to go down to Washington, D.C. What is the experience? Like, how do you get down there?
Well, it's a kind of a crowded bus ride on the way down. And it's mostly quiet for the most part, but there are some people that are kind of loud and excited to go.
Yeah, so. And so you kind of leave late at night, and the idea is that you're going to sleep on the bus. Do you ever get any sleep?
Not really, no. It's kind of a all-nighter.
Yeah, it's really, and you don't realize how much energy you're really going to need for the next day. So it's just, by the time you get down to D.C., you really wished you would have gotten some sleep. So when you get down to D.C., where do you go?
We go to the shrine. The first place that we were dropped off, basically, is the shrine. And that's where, you go and you meet with all the other groups that have come together. They have mass there and the rosary and everything, which is very nice, too.
Right, so it's the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception.
Yes.
And it's a very, very large church. Right. And it's packed.
Oh, yeah, people are standing and sitting on the floors.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people are packed into the shrine. And so the first thing is mass, but there's mass in all of the different shrines, the little chapels throughout the church, but there's also a huge mass in the shrine itself. It's amazing how many people.
It really is. It's overwhelming to walk through. It's like a maze.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and have you ever gone down and bumped into people that you knew?
Oh, absolutely.
Almost every year, actually.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I know there's so many people, and you're bound to know somebody down there. It's like, oh, look at you.
So. Yeah, I mean, and I've run into people that, had no idea they were going, people from another, state that I haven't seen in years. So it's amazing that with all those people there, you do run into people that you know. So once you go to Mass, what's the next activity?
It's kind of always different, actually.
Yeah, it depends what group that you're with. There were times that we went to different churches that were around and have said Mass at different chapels or different churches also. And there's so much to do. You go to different conferences that they have there, or you go to the center where everything starts, basically, and that's where you hear all the talks from the
Right, so on the mall, they'll have a big stage set up, and Nellie Gray will have a whole lineup of different speakers.
Right.
That go
right.
on and on and on.
Yeah.
But the whole mall is then just like full of people standing
yeah, it's
around.
Almost impossible to walk through.
Yeah. One of the other important activities that the reason why they have it on a Monday through Friday is that people are encouraged to go visit their legislators. Have you ever done that?
I have. The first time I went, and the second time we have gone down there, because that's, I mean, we always stay with our groups. And if our groups go there,
right.
then that's where we end up if they don't. But I do encourage the groups, if you're going down there, to do that, because it does really make a difference. Even if you don't see it, it may not make a difference to the congressman,
mm-hmm.
but you being there and other people seeing you there.
Right. Like his staff, for instance, because
right.
they're the ones that really, right. you know, interact with the people. And the more people that they see come lining through from their district, the more they realize how important this issue is, you know,
right.
to his constituents. And you can sign in a book.
You right. sign your name.
Right. Like my kids say, we like to drop off complaining letters. So we've encouraged the children to write letters to their legislators. And sometimes kids have a certain wisdom, you know, that even adults can't really relay to
right.
other adults. So sometimes you hope that will touch them, because I know in Connecticut we haven't had a pro-life legislator in quite
years.
Some time.
Yeah.
So the whole experience, and then of course the finale is the march. What is that like?
It's very interesting, because you see that there are a lot of different cultures there. So when you're actually marching with them, and you're either praying with them. I mean, not everybody that goes there is Catholic.
Right.
So they'll say their prayers. You'll walk by these people and they'll be singing music or whatever.
Sometimes you'll be handing out flyers and receiving flyers.
Right, right.
Right, and you can make it into a game, you know, who can hand out the most pamphlets or whatever. So.
And some of the younger, more exuberant participants will be cheering. I've heard, you know,
right.
different cheers and stuff.
Chants out. Yep.
I guess the march has evolved over the years. I've been told that when they initially started it, they started it as a very somber, you know, like a silent march. It has not
no longer
a silent march. No, they have the bagpipes playing. You know, you'll see different bands. You'll hear some people will do the rosary over a loudspeaker. You know, singing, chanting. I mean, it's just, like you said, kind of like a variety of things going on, but
right.
lots and lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they're all holding their signs, either that they bought or they made or whatever, which is always interesting to see the signs. You know, some
yeah.
are funny, some are very serious and graphic, but a lot of times that's what people need.
Right.
Too, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So, you say you've gone down with friends. Have you ever encouraged other friends that hadn't been down there before to go?
A lot, actually. Quite
yeah.
a bit.
Yeah.
Just like last week, I was talking about it with a group of my friends at school. And, you know, I was like, well, you should go down or whatever, and gave them some information or whatever. So.
Are any of them going to go?
I think one or two of them.
Really?
Are, actually,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So there's always great to have newbies go down. Just to spread the enthusiasm for the March for Life. Really, every person that goes down counts, you know, and the more we get down there, the better our cause.
Right, and yeah. it's not only, I mean, it's not just like, oh, you're going there, hold a sign and make a statement. I mean, it's also fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're with your friends, you're with your family, whoever you're with, and it is fun. You're all tired, running on caffeine, so it's always interesting. But
yes.
you're also making a statement. So
yeah, a lot of the young people will go down, I guess, for the mass in the shrine the night before, and then apparently a bunch of them sleep in the crypts of the church.
Right,
right.
So they're there for a long time, and I mean, like you said, you're just running on pure adrenaline.
Yeah,
yeah.
pretty much, which makes everything all the more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's very serious. It's important that people go down and take a stand for life, but like you said, it's really kind of a fun thing to do too.
Right.
And I know if you are active in the pro-life movement, it's always really a good shot in the arm, you know, to really encourage you to keep going. And if you haven't been doing anything in the pro-life movement, it also will do the same thing, kind of, you know, push you towards doing
right.
pro-life.
Because like you said before, I mean, you're in New England, so you do get discouraged. But once you're there and you see that there are other people that actually do believe what you believe and stand for what you stand for, it's very encouraging, you know?
So as a young person, have you been moved to do other pro-life things once you come home from the March for Life?
Well, it gives you a whole new aspect on how to view things and how to bring things across also. I mean, you don't want to throw anything in their face.
Right.
Because that's not going to get anywhere. It's just going to make things worse. So it does give you a whole new view, and especially in the school that we go to. He goes to a public school.
So when you're talking about it, you definitely want to be welcoming to the subject. You don't want to be, you know, standoffish. And
right. So do you find that you have opportunity in schools to talk about abortion? And
yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Really?
Not too long ago, she had to write a paper about abortion or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, and for my English, because I go to college, Three Rivers Community College, and it is a community college, so you don't see so much of that on the campus itself. It's not like UConn or Harvard
right.
where everything's on campus. But you do hear about it, and you hear about, you know, how it's just everyday life, basically, for a lot of people, when it's absolutely not, mm-hmm. you know, and people don't know that. So you go in English class, and you're given, to write your opinion, pro-choice or are you pro-life, and just
so
write.
So that was the assignment?
Yes.
So you had an assignment in college that the assignment was, are you pro-life or pro-choice?
Pro-choice.
And then it was kind of like.
It's a debate.
An argument, you know, mm-hmm. type of paper. And so, obviously, you chose the pro-life. And
right.
how did that come off?
Well, come to find out, I was the only one.
Are you serious?
That in my class that ended up writing it on the pro-life movement. And I was the one chosen to read it aloud in class, ironically. So I was able to read it. But writing it was probably the hardest thing to do because... I mean, it's very easy. I know what I stand for. I know
right.
why I stand for it. But they don't know why I stand for it. They don't know where I come from, you know? And I don't know where they come from either. So I don't want to, like, say, this is what I believe in, this is what you have to believe
right.
in, you know? So I have to take their view. And a lot of people find that very hard to do.
Sure.
To take the other side. So, but when you're debating something like that or you're trying to get a point across, you really should know the argument,
right.
you know what you're debating. So you had to do research on both sides and bring that across. And it did cause discussion. It was a very long class, but it was very educational for me. I personally don't know if it affected anyone in the class, but there was, 23 people in the class?
Wow.
And if it just affected one.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one more person that can...
Did you get the sense from your teacher whether or not the teacher was pro-life or pro-choice?
Yes, she was pro-choice.
Was she?
You could definitely tell because of the way she, well, I think she had me read it for a reason.
Right.
Because she wanted to start a debate, too, in the class. But also because she was very pro-choice. And she was the one asking a lot of questions and coming up with these, what she calls so-called facts. But,
And how do you think you did? I mean, how did it come up with the grade? What did she give you for a grade?
Well, she wasn't grading on what I wrote itself, and that's what she said. She was grading on how I presented it.
Sure.
And I did get a good grade, but she said she did point out, you know, that a lot of people would not get a good grade because a lot of people don't, when they're debating things, they're not very respectful.
Right.
No matter what the topic, really.
Right. Right.
But in what you have to do. I mean, we were always brought up, if you're going to debate, stand for what you stand for.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people just finish with. But you also
have to be respectful while you do
sure.
it, too.
Right.
Well, the thing is, when you have the truth on your side, you don't have to get all hot and bothered, you know,
right.
because sometimes if you don't have the truth on your side, then that's when you, like, end up resorting to calling names or, you know, well, you're just stupid.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, why don't you get what I'm saying? You know,
right.
that type of thing. But you have the truth on your side. So, I mean, that's you're already starting out right. ahead, yeah. you know.
Oh, right. And every time, I mean, especially in debates, I find when I debate it amongst the class like I did there, it's very educational for me because if they say something or they bring something up, and if I don't have an argument for it, well, I'm going to go home and look it up.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. That's the only way you can grow.
Right. So you're constantly...
Did anybody pull you aside afterwards and like, try to delve in further?
Yeah, there were a couple of people that did bring it up outside of class, but because they felt as if I was throwing it in their face. And, you know, I just told them, you know, I'm not here to tell you what to believe in.
Right.
I'm just showing you what I believe in, what makes me happy.
Right.
And because a lot of the times these people... that are getting abortions, you know, going for abortions, they're not happy. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they're making the right choice, but really they're not making the right mm-hmm. choice, but they think they are. So they're just looking for truth. They're looking for happiness, so.
And they're also looking for somebody to justify what they've done, you know,
right.
and justify their choices. And
right.
they're not always going to find that. But you, like you say, you kind of have to present it in a way that you're going to win them over, not mm-hmm. push them away.
Right.
So have you've had experiences too talking to kids at school?
Yeah, I've never really had the opportunity to bring it up in class.
Right, right.
But just like on the side with a couple of people that...
Really?
Yeah, because it was mentioned in class one time, so, you know, I raised my hand saying I was pro-life, and a couple of people afterwards were talking about it and asked me a couple questions about it, and so, you know, I answered it respectfully and just... kind of how we were told to, you know, when we were brought up, just to, you know, tell them what you believe in, but don't shove it in their face.
Right, right. A lot of times you just kind of plant seeds, you know, and they kind of start thinking about, and then
right.
doing the research themselves. Now, were these boys or were these girls that...
They were guys. Yeah.
Guys?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you have any idea why they were interested in your position?
Honestly, not at all, no.
No?
It was just... So the opportunity came up. So,
but then you also got the opportunity to invite some of them on the March for Life.
Right. Yeah.
And some of them were receptive.
Right.
That's awesome.
So it all tied together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really awesome. Now, I know in this day and age, you know, young people and old people are connecting with Facebook and different social media. Have you been able to use Facebook to kind of, you know... just get the pro-life message out?
Right.
right
well,
yeah.
A lot of people, through their statuses, I don't know about the guys. You know, I mean, I only have so many guys on my Facebook. But I know the girls that I have on my Facebook, a lot of them, you know, they like putting these quotes up and liking it or whatever. So you throw a quote out, whether people, you know, like it or
right.
comment on it or whatever, they see it. It makes them think. And lately... personally, I've been into the autistic viewpoint on autistic kids
mm-hmm.
and everything, and so I've had a lot of videos on the pro-life and the disabled and all that stuff. So, like Down syndrome children, you know, I just posted a video like about that on Facebook. So,
that I mean, that's really important. I've seen a lot of you know, similar things. I mean, and it's kind of timely too because I know. They're starting to do prenatal testing for autism.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they do prenatal testing for Down syndrome, and that's why you know
right.
most Down syndrome babies, 90% of Down syndrome babies are aborted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even get a chance to live.
Right.
right.
And that might start happening to autistic children too. If
right. Yeah. I mean, that's what basically the video was saying, and what people don't realize is that those kids. These people, they're probably the smartest people in the world. They're so intelligent. You know, they may not be able to communicate the way we communicate
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but their life is as precious as anybody else's.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, we're supposed to be like children to get into the gates of heaven, you
and
know?
Who's more like a child than somebody with Down syndrome?
I know, right?
right?
Or any disability, for
yeah,
that matter.
True.
I mean, anyone with a disability is very youthful, very youthful, so...
Right.
Yeah, and we can all learn from everybody, really. But
right.
we can really learn from these children to be more like them.
Right.
Right.
So has that any sparked any discussion or?
Well, yeah, actually it has, because there's a couple people on my Facebook that have autistic kids or Down syndromed kids or brothers or sisters or whatever. And some people, when you say that, they're like, well, if we knew before, you know, that he or she was going to be disabled in some way, then maybe our actions would have been different.
Really?
It's like, but your actions weren't different, you know, so... Right.
I mean, you think that, I mean, the, are they saying that if they would have known that their brother or sister would have been, you know, had a disability, that they would have encouraged them to abort?
Well, that's what it came across as, whether
really?
They meant that or not. That's what it came across as. But, which makes you wonder, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what is your relationship with your sibling or
wow.
whatever? So.
Wow.
But there's a lot of that out there. And you see a lot of it on Facebook. Also, like, all the time, it's debated, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know, debating things are fun, especially when you have, you know, resources to back you up
yeah.
and everything, so.
And again, you're always, like you say, you want to be respectful.
Oh, absolutely.
How about the guys? I mean, she says she interacts with a lot of girls. Do you, on Facebook, interact with guys on different
yeah,
topics?
It's not so much about all that, though.
Sure.
It's, I mean, there are a couple people on my Facebook where, like, they, you know, they have Down syndrome, you know, brothers, sisters, or whatever. And they said that once they found out about it, you know, they were really upset or
sure.
whatever right before, the, you know, the birth or whatever. But then afterwards, they said that they're the coolest person ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, they get along so well. And once you find a way to talk with them and interact with them and they find a way to express themselves to you, they're, you know, they're really fun to be around.
Well, I mean, obviously, at first, there's always fear of the unknown. You know,
right.
how is this going to change
right.
my life? How is this going to, you know, how is this going to affect our family and everything? So once any brother or sister comes into, you know, your life, it takes a little adjusting.
Yeah,
no matter
it
who they are.
Yeah, that's so true.
Might take 18, 19 years.
Yeah, but I mean, those siblings that have special needs, I mean, you should feel so blessed to have them as your sibling, really, because, I mean, it is difficult. You do have to have a certain understanding, and there's a certain way to deal with them, and you have to be very patient.
Yes, yes.
Very patient, but they are truly, like, amazing.
And a blessing. Yeah, so, I mean, just the fact that you're going to learn at a young age patience. That's a really
yeah.
that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to need patience later on in life.
That's for sure.
So besides doing the March for Life and obviously standing up for life in, you know, some of your more practical in class and everything, is there anything else that you guys do or have done in the past?
We participate in the 40 Days for Life.
And how do you do that?
We take, like, well, an hour, right? Usually it's an hour. Just go in front of the abortion mill and say a rosary. Or
the crazy hours, of course.
Yeah.
You know, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Is this as a family?
Yeah, for
yeah.
the most part, yep.
So your whole family goes out and prays in front of the abortion clinic. How is that? What is that experience? What would you tell somebody that experience is like?
Well, it depends what time you're there also. I mean, if you're there during the times that, you know, the abortions do occur, then it's very... It's a whole new atmosphere, at least from what I've experienced. A whole new atmosphere. There's a lot of people there, debate or walking, praying
mm-hmm.
and everything. But there's also, you know, a lot of people that ignore you or
mm-hmm.
they'll, you know, yell at you or say comments or whatever. But
there also are those people that will, you know, see you there and then, you know, just... start to understand and think about what they're actually
sure.
doing.
Yeah, I've found that more people are encouraging than discouraging.
Right.
Right.
And but even the ones that are discouraging, I think it does make them stop, you know, and think, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And actually there's the abortion clinic that we go to, there's also other offices in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where I did have to go in there to see one of the other offices. And it was during the 40 Days
oh,
for Life.
Oh, Lord, you see all the little ladies with the rosaries. Don't go in there. Don't go.
I know. So it's like, here I am, a young woman, going into this abortion clinic. It's like, oh, no, it's not going to be good. So I walked
out. On Facebook, we saw a drag girl going in.
I know, right? So, and coming out and seeing those people was, and the way they, you know, responded to you, you know, because, I mean, what do you think, young girls going to an abortion clinic, what do you think they're going to be doing in there? But, so they do, you know, approach you. Sometimes they do approach you. When I came out, they were, God bless you, you know, old women, you know, comforting you, like, oh, you'll get through it. Like,
but they were all loving.
Yes, very.
They weren't spitting on you or calling you names or anything.
Absolutely,
like that.
Yes. Yeah, no, they were very welcoming, which was good. Not that, you know. But, yeah, it was different.
And what about at the, like, the twilight hours when nobody's there? How has that been?
It's very prayerful. We went, oh my goodness, I think it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And, you know, it's quiet, no one's there. So that's when you can actually be serious about your prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the distractions of cars or anything behind you. So meditating and really feeling on what's going on and what in front of you, what's actually happened or what will happen, mm-hmm. you know, and really it's just a horrible thought, and it keeps you up the rest of the night thinking, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to go out and change it, you know, do whatever you can to make a difference, whatever little difference you can.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, you know, what attracted me to the 40 Days for Life is that, you know, people have been working in the pro-life movement for so many years. You know, they had Operation Rescue, people getting arrested, you know, all these different things have been going on. And finally, this movement is just saying, okay, throwing your hands up to God and saying, you know, it's in your hands. I mean, we are... lowly idiots, we really can't do anything, you know, please end the scourge on our society, because it really does affect all of us. I mean, you guys are missing classmates.
Right.
Right.
Because, you know, their mothers aborted them.
Right.
You know?
And it just makes you think, how many more people would you have known if abortion, you know, wasn't such a big thing.
I know.
You know, if it never happened.
And you have the thought of, like, would there be a, you know, cure for cancer if so many people weren't aborted? And
all the different things, you know, like, one of the things that touched me this year was Steve Jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
How everybody celebrated his life. But had he been born 20 years later, his mom, who put him up for adoption, may have chosen to have aborted him. So it's, you never know.
Right, yeah.
Thank you so much for all the work that you guys are doing, and you know, keep up the good work. You know, be strong and have courage to keep talking to your friends about abortion. And just so blessed that you have come here to share your experiences with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us. I hope that you have the courage to talk to your family and friends about the things that you hear and learn on The Face of Pro-Life, and really get out there and change hearts. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize yours, too, is the face of pro-life. Please join us again next time.